Let's start with prayer. Dear Lord God, we're here this morning to worship you and to thank you for all you do, allowing us to come together this morning. Lord, before we get started, we want to pray for our family, Lord God. We want to pray for Carl Lucanot, not his family. Lord, he got shot, and he's now with you. He's a 9-year-old boy, and I'm sure that he's with you today. But he's got a brother that's going through a lot right now, and I'm sure there's other family members that are going through a lot. And Lord, I just want to lift them all up to you, Lord. I ask that you would comfort them, strengthen them. Lord, I ask that you would just be with them and just touch their hearts and draw them closer to you. Father, it would be an awful thing to see your brother shot. I mean, I don't know how I would deal with it if it was mine. So, Father, I know that you're needed there right now. And, Lord, we just want to pray for them. You're the healer. You're the strength. You can strengthen them. You can take care of them. And that's what we ask. Lord God, as we get ready to read from your word, I ask that you would just send your Holy Spirit, Lord, just touch us all. And God, just give us a revelation that we can take home with us, Lord. And we just thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about a subject today that a lot of people don't like. And it's about judging people. And you know, you get some people that'll tell you can't judge anybody, and then you get other people, well, we're supposed to judge people. So what I'd like to do is I want to talk about that a little bit, and then I want to give you a reason for why I lay it out the way I do. But if you read James 4:11, starting in James 4:11, it says, "Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor?" If you read that and you stop there and don't read anything else in the Bible, I think it's pretty clear. You know, you ought to not judge anybody. You shouldn't sit in judgment of anybody. And I guess you could just leave it at that. But there's a whole bunch of other scriptures that kind of tie in with that, and I'd like to read a little bit more on it to just kind of tell you where I'm going with this. In Matthew 7:1, it says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now that kind of rewords it a little bit. It says, don't judge. Or if you judge someone, you're going to be judged the same way that you judge them. And the same way you dish it out to them is going to be dished out to you. Kind of like what comes around goes around kind of deal. So it's like, well, if it's set up at the top that we're not supposed to judge at all, but here it says that if we judge, that we're going to be judged in the same way we judge others. So where are we going with this? Well, let's read on. And I want to read out of Matthew, or just continue the same in the same place. Matthew 7:3 is where we're at now. It says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Now, if you kind of study on that a little bit, I mean, it's pretty easy to figure out what it's saying. You know, don't try to make yourself better than others. You know, we're real good at pointing fingers. You know, you see people, we all have this vision of what a Christian's supposed to be like. And even non-Christians have a vision of what a Christian's supposed to be like. They tell us all the time how we're supposed to be. And what it's telling you is, better be really careful when you do that. You know, you don't always know the circumstances. You don't know why people are the way they are. You know, drinking is always a really good one. You know, a lot of people use that, and there's bunch of Christians think that they ought to not, nobody ought to drink at all. Then there's Christians say it's okay to have a drink. You go over to Europe, they're all drinking. And not all, but it's it's a lot more accepted over there. I'm kind of making a joke out of it. But you don't know where people are in their heart. Are they drinking in excess? Are they having one beer? Or, you know, you see somebody in a place that they ought to not be. You don't know the reason that they're there. And I think that's what it's talking about when it talks about taking the plank out of your own eye. And before you pass judgment on them, you better make sure you're not doing anything that you ought to not be doing. And I know when I look at myself, it's almost scary sometimes. You know, you look at yourself in the mirror and you start really doing a study of yourself. And it's like, God, I'm not worthy to tell these people about you, because I have plenty of stuff in my life that's messed up. See, and every Christian has stuff that's messed up in their life. And we need to do the best we can to fix that. And if we want to help our brother that's having a problem, we better make sure that we're doing the walk also. And we're not just passing judgment on them. But I want to go on, because there's more to this. I'm leading up to something with this. It's, you know, it goes on. It says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. This is out of Luke 6. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. It's pretty easy to understand, you know, what they're saying here, but we'll go on. He says, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. I was saying, it's pretty easy to recognize people. And when we recognize people and when we look at them, again, we got to make sure that we're okay before we start looking at them. But a really good person, you can recognize them, and a really bad person, you can recognize. It's in people that are in the middle, that are straddling the fence, that are kind of hard to recognize sometimes. And that's kind of scary. Because the whole thing I'm leading up to is this next verse. Why do we even care where people are? Why should we care? Or why should I care where anybody's at? Or why should you care where your neighbors are at or your friends? That's why I want to read Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the word of God is living and active. In other words, the Bible's still here and it's real. It's living and active, because that's the word of God. It says, sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Now there's the judge. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. That's why it don't do any good to lie to God when you're praying. You know, you tell him stuff that you don't really mean. He already knows that anyway. But it says, everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. We all at some point have to give an account of our life to God, whether we like it or not. And that's what I'm leading up to with this. You know, yeah, we're not supposed to sit in judgment of one another, but we still have to look at people and try to place them where they're at. Because if we don't even know who we want to witness to. We don't know who we want to minister to. I mean, well, we just kind of at random just throw it out there and hope it goes somewhere. So you have to look at people and you have to not judge them. That's a strong word. See, I always wish the Bible would have used a little bit different word for that, but that's the way most translations translate it. They use the word judging, where you're not really not supposed to judge. Judging to me is passing sentence. And we can't do that. That is the thing that we can't do. But we do have to decide who's where. I mean, if you see somebody that's way out there doing all kinds of drugs and, you know, I'm not even going to get into it. We got kids here. Just imagine some of the things they might be doing. Well, it's pretty obvious that they probably either aren't Christians or they've backslidden so far where they're in really bad trouble. And that is who we need to minister to. Well, if we don't look at them and judge them, how do we know that we're supposed to talk to them? Or you might just have somebody that's hurting really bad. Yeah, you know, and they're down. Well, you got to look at them and see that they're hurting before you can help them. And that's what we need to do. We need to help people. So I want to read one more scripture here. Yes, we have to judge, but no, we don't pass judgment. That's what we don't do. But we have to do it because we want to tell people about Jesus. And that, hopefully, either the ones that are backslidden and are way out there and just in all kinds of trouble, hopefully it'll draw them back. And the ones that have never met Jesus as their Savior, it'll give them an opportunity to come to Him. You know, that they get to know Jesus. But I want to read this last scripture here. And that kind of sums up why we're doing all this. People come to know Christ, and they truly follow Him. This is one of the promises that they can hang on to. And it's in continuation what I read earlier up at in Hebrews 4:12 through 13, where it talks about everything being judged. You know, that's kind of scary when you hear that everything's going to be judged that you did. But I want to read a promise of God to kind of go along with that. It says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess." In other words, if we make a decision for Christ, let's hang on to that really tight. And then it goes on, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses." Isn't that awesome? We're serving a God that came to this world, that walked this earth for 30-some years, and He went through all the stuff that we're going through, and He can understand it. He's not just sitting up there going, "Okay, I pass judgment on you." He doesn't do that. He actually came here. He experienced all that. And it goes on, "But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are." So I just said it, what I just ad-libbed. It said it in the verse. "Yet was without sin." He did all that and was still perfect. Now, we can't be perfect. We know that. But that's why we have the grace of God. Because if we go on and read that, he says, "Let us then approach the throne of God, throne of grace, with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." And that grace and mercy isn't just for us, it's for the people that we're ministering to. And that gives us hope, and it gives them hope, and that's how we can judge them and at the same time give them something to look forward to. Because when we tell them about Jesus, and when we tell them to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we can tell them, you know, once you do that, if you make that decision, it'll never be the same. And you can be confident of it. You don't have to be scared. Now, when you go to bed tonight and lay down, you don't have to worry about not waking up tomorrow. You know where you're going. There is no doubt. And this is not the only place where it talks about being, you know, going in talking to God. But our salvation is a guarantee. You don't lose your salvation. God doesn't give it to you, and in 4 days, He says, "You're not living the way you're supposed to. I'm taking it away." It doesn't work that way. Luckily, we serve a God that He will see us through to the end. So when you're out in your workplace, when you're out in school, or anywhere you're at here at the track, look at your friends. Maybe they need Jesus. If they don't have Him, I guarantee you they need Him. And that's what we're all about. We need to take Jesus to the people. With that, I'd like to close. Dear Lord God, I know so many people talk about not judging. And I mean, you hear, "I can't judge that person" and all that. But Lord, we have to look at them to make a decision as to where they are, that we can try to lead them to You. We just tell them about You, but You're the one that stirs the heart and actually draws them. So I ask right now, if there's anyone here that feels that draw, that You would give them the courage to make a decision for Jesus Christ. That's what brings future. That's what makes life worth living. Without it, it's just kind of blah. We have nothing to look forward to. So, Father God, we just thank You for Your message right now, Lord, and I hope that everyone can use it in the days to come and just take it with them, Lord. And we just thank You for that. Lord God, as we get ready to race, Father, I ask for protection on everyone. Father, it's supposed to be a super hot day, so I ask that You might just let a little breeze blow for everyone to keep us a little bit on the cool side. Father, we thank You for that, and we just ask for, again, for protection on every person on or off the track, coming and going. Lord, this is not the most safest thing to do, but we sure do love it. And Father, we thank You for allowing us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.